make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
It's a big day here in Berea, the first OTA with the veterans and the rookies underway today. Tomorrow will be day two of the OTAs. The media will be allowed here into Berea for that one. Nathan Zagora, Vic Carucci with you for the next 2 hours here on the show. We have a nice group of guests for you at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Dane Brugler, CBSSports.com's NFL draft guru, will be with us to break down the Browns prospects, give you a scout's take on those guys selected by the Browns, some of the undrafted free agents as well. He joins us at 1:30 to help grade the Browns draft. At 2 o'clock, it will be the Blitz. We'll talk with John Mullen from Chicago at the latest for the Bears, and we'll also go around and take a look at Indianapolis and the latest with the Indianapolis Colts. Gerard Cherry joins us in hour number two. We'll play a little after further review. A lot to get to, but I'll tell you what, Vic, we'll start with our Ohio Business Machine's hot topic of the day.
Yes.
Mike Pettine, yesterday at the Akron Browns backers annual dinner, said that he doesn't want the Hoyer-Manziel relationship to be all warm and fuzzy. It is going to be a competition. They are fighting for a job. I like that. I agree with that, and I'm excited to see that play out over the course of this offseason.
Without a doubt, that's the healthiest way to go about this, to set that tone that it's going to be a competition. For all the Manziel fury and bluster, the fact is you got to figure out who can really play quarterback for you at any time, but especially now when you're talking about a rookie. And there's a large, large learning curve for Johnny Manziel. I think he'd be the first to admit that. And to some degree, a certain degree with Brian Hoyer, learning a new offense. I mean, they're both learning a new offense. Hoyer has the advantage of years of experience, and Hoyer did get, with a few days of workouts a couple of weeks ago, a little more opportunity to kind of get familiar with this scheme. But they're both learning it, and Hoyer, I would say, would be fair to say, is going to be ahead of things right now and probably in the foreseeable future. But I think on a day-to-day basis, you got to allow Johnny Manziel to learn, digest, see what he's doing, see the mistakes that are being made on the field, and then try to improve on them and improve on that and compete and make this thing a competition and let the entire team know that the best quarterback will emerge. You don't want to be handpicking a guy, because that doesn't just play well with those of us who watch this team. But if you're playing for this team, you don't want to see that.
You definitely don't want to see that. And I think the hope for the coaches and the players is that somebody kind of emerges from this and says, listen, I'm the guy. It is undeniable that I am the guy to lead this team here in 2014. This is going to be a very good defensive football team. You get a sense of that immediately upon watching them and getting to see them. It's going to be a fun season. And, yes, this quarterback competition is good. I like the fact that it is – Mike Pettine said it. They can help each other, but at the same time, they're competing for a job, period, right. End of story. So while it can be a good relationship, and we talked about that yesterday a little bit, how Brian Hoyer can, you know, lead this team but also provide a little mentorship as well for Johnny Manziel. At the end of the day, they're competing for one job, and the job is to be the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, a team that I think has some lofty aspirations here in 2014.
Brian Hoyer, by definition, is a veteran. But he's not that veteran in the, quote, twilight of his career who sees himself now as the mentor coach guy. Brian Hoyer sees himself as trying to seize the opportunity of a lifetime. And
yes,
to do right, and to build upon that flash that he gave last year, and that's really what it was when you break it all down, call it a lot of different things. It was a flash of brilliance or whatever. There were moments of encouragement, and to build on that. And that's really all it was. He is still a guy in the prime, in the early stages of a career, that wants to be a starter in the NFL, who wants to do everything he can to get that job. He's not the guy who, even though he knows the stature of his competition, first-round draft pick, all the things that Brian Hoyer was not, is what Johnny Manziel comes in, the fame and everything else. that can't mean, well, you know what, I've got to play this subservient role. I've got to be the mentor, the big brother to this guy and help him along. That's really what I'm here for. He's not being told that, and wisely he is not being told that, because he might very well be, for this year, or at least the beginning of this year, the best that this team has at that position. And that's all the coaches, Mike Pettine especially, can worry about. You don't put out any question marks when it comes to your chances to win. You don't compromise that in any way.
No, because this is a team, as we talked about, that's going to be built on toughness, on defense. It's going to be built on the ability to run the football. And these running backs look good for this team. I'm excited to see the way they're going to be able to run the ball in this Kyle Shanahan offense. But you need a quarterback who's not going to come out there and make big mistakes. You need somebody who's going to take care of the football, be smart with the football, get it out quickly on time. Right now, Brian Hoyer has a little bit of an advantage in that. But this is a long process. This is a long competition. And at some point, probably sometime soon, the knowledge base in this offense will become equal for the two, because Brian Hoyer has had more time to at least get acclimated to this offense at this point than Johnny Manziel. Once you can get the knowledge basis equal, then it becomes a pure competition in my mind. Who can do better with that equal knowledge on the football? Who can apply it better? Who can apply it quicker? Who can apply it for more success on the football field? And that's what we're going to get. You're going to get a competition that Mike Pettine alluded to yesterday, saying that there will be equal reps for these two, that they will have equal opportunities with the starters throughout the course of the offseason, right, and that they will be graded every single day, graded harshly every single day and fairly, to make sure that they end up making the right decision come this fall.
You know, I think if you have to go with the early takes on what has been impressive so far, you'd have to start offensively. You start with the running game. You start with the way a Terrence West has looked. Explosive, big, strong guy. Really looks like a powerful but explosive player. Good low center of gravity for his size, and he's got some length to him, height to him, but he definitely knows how to, I think, kind of just get into, explode into the hole and maximize his ability, the upper and lower body power that he brings to the table, and also
he's
can catch the ball.
Big dude.
Well, he's a big dude. And the same thing, you know, you look at Ben Tate, who we were talking about, you and I were talking about this before the show, that maybe there's like lack of appreciation of what kind of receiver he can be. But I think in that system that he was in and working with Gary Kubiak, he had to become conversant with catching the football a lot and catching it well. He brings that to the table as well, and I like this. I think he senses, with the arrival of Terrence West especially, a true challenge that he was the free agent signed at running back, but that doesn't mean you're getting handed the starting job. You got to win the job.
No, and with Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell in town, they are certainly going to push Ben Tate, and I think it's good. Competition breeds the best out of everybody involved in that competition. It lends itself to that, and Ben Tate, who when he was signed, remember, came in here with basically Ben Tate and nobody else.
Right.
It was basically Ben Tate, you're going to have to do everything here. And now you have Terrence West here. You have undrafted free agent Isaiah Crowell, who I'm going to continue to talk about because I think he is immensely talented. This is a team that's going to have three excellent running backs, three guys who can carry the mail, as it were, and it's exciting to see these guys. Also, we do need to point out the team made some moves over the last couple of days, basically adding seven guys to the roster following their initial rookie minicamp. Wide receiver Anthony Armstrong, who 1 year with Kyle Shanahan in Washington averaged nearly 20 yards per catch and went for over 800 yards that season. Running back Jordan Brooks, wide receiver Taylor Gabriel, who apparently runs a 4.2-ish 40 from Abilene Christian. Guy's got a lot of speed, a small guy. Think of him as kind of a next-generation baby hawk. That's what he looks like out there, a small, very quick receiver. They added Randall Harrison, offensive lineman, defensive lineman Jacoby McDaniel, DB Robert Nelson. And this is a guy that stood out to me in the rookie minicamp as well. Nelson, a smaller corner, 5'9", 175, from Arizona State last year, led Arizona State with six interceptions, was first team all Pac-12. He can mirror, he looks good, can help in the return game as well. Somebody to keep an eye on. And then tight end James Oboe, those were the seven added. The team parted ways with running back Jermaine Cook, wide receiver Josh Cooper, offensive lineman Anthony Dima, wide receiver Torrey Gurley, Michael Phillip, an offensive lineman, fullback Chris Presley, tight end Andre Smith, and I'm not even going to try, defensive lineman Alhaji Ndaye. I don't think I did that one well, but yeah. I gave it my best.
I mean, Ndaye, we hardly knew ye.
Didn't we sign him a couple days ago?
I think he was signed, and I don't even know if the ink dried before the guy.
On the day, or he was signed, he was in the Earl Bennett press release.
Just didn't like his signature.
Apparently not, but I'll tell you what, Anthony Armstrong, for a team that needs wide receivers, is a guy who still had some juice in his legs. We got to see him today. He looked as good as any of the receivers out there for this team, obviously excluding the great Flash Gordon, but he's got a little bit of juice left, and he knows the offense well and thrived in it. Only one season did he have one good season, but he did that year. Over 800 yards, was top 10 in the league in terms of pass plays of over 40 yards, so somebody to keep an eye on there.
What I like about how this receiving corps is coming together, and this is regardless of Josh Gordon's status, whatever it might be, I like the fact that you have guys who know how to run precise routes, how to get open. I think that's the consistent theme of the veteran players. You just mentioned Armstrong. I think the same will be true for Earl Bennett. We'll see when he's fully aboard, and I think we'll get to see that in tomorrow's practice. And then you see the same thing when Miles Austin is able to come out there and work too. You'll see a guy who is ready to show the ability to get open, to make those easier targets as best you can for quarterbacks who are trying to feel their way through. I think it's very important at this stage. It's those home run plays are fine and you want to have them, but that isn't what I want to see in the course of practices. I want to see, especially from Johnny Manziel, the more methodical, take the low-hanging fruit. Take those routes that are available underneath and run after catch. And I think that's a big thing with Kyle Shanahan's scheme, is to set up pass plays that allow the receiver to get in position to catch the ball right in tempo, in rhythm, and then flow. Catch it in stride and then take it for a longer gain. I think that's the kind of thing on which this offense would thrive from a passing standpoint. But I do think it'll come down. I think what's clear already is that the strength of this offense will be its running game, just based on what you see in talent there. And yeah, these aren't contact workouts and such, but from the tone and the vibe I get from the coaching staff, that's where most of their encouragement is. And no surprise there. That is how this team is being built. The best way to complement a defensive first team, a team that is expected to excel, wants to excel in coverage, excel in putting pressure on the quarterback, excel in making plays and turnovers and getting a short field for the offense, the best way to complement that is to run it, and control the football and make your progress that way and set up some plays from that. I'm not saying they'll never throw the football, but this team, get used to this idea. I can't say it enough. Get used to this idea that this team will not be throwing it all over the lot as it did a year ago when it was just all about throwing the football.
Listen, we've been saying it for a while now, and I think on the draft day it became, or the draft, the 3 days of the draft, it became very, very apparent that this is a team that's going to follow the model of a Seattle, of a San Francisco, of a Carolina this year, or of the Jets when Mike Pettine was there when they went to back-to-back AFC Championship games 2009, 2010. Again, to refresh your minds. Carolina, number 2 overall defense, number 11 rushing offense. Seattle, number 1 defense, number 4 rushing offense. San Francisco, number 3 defense, number 3 rushing offense. The Jets those years were number 1 and number 4 rushing offenses and number 1 and number 4 defenses. That's the model. You are going to be able to run the football, control the clock, and use your defense to suffocate teams. They're going to have a suffocating pass defense this year, be able to get to the quarterback and win that way. No wide receiver is going to stand out unless Josh Gordon is here for the full 16 games. And yes, I'll knock on wood and hope that there is some type of scenario under which that comes to be. But this is a team that's going to have an opportunity to really pound the football with 3 guys that can carry the mail. And it really has a defense that I think looks good. A lot of just one thing that I've noticed in the early going, and it is very early, it's very premature. This defense is bigger, taller
and bigger, yeah.
Taller, bigger, and faster. It is a faster, leaner, more mobile, athletic, fluid-looking group than it was a year ago.
I would go with leaner, too. Yeah, bigger in the sense of being
height,
taller and height.
And wingspan.
And wingspan, but girth, I mean, it's not a lot of big,
not as
big
much
guys. Because to be fast, which is what the emphasis is, I mean, you want hitters, and you want them to pack some punch when they hit, but there's not a lot of girth, and you don't see as much as I think still the emphasis, for instance, with Barkevious Mingo is to get him bigger. I'm not seeing the results of that quite yet just on the eyeball test. We'll see how that goes as we go forward. We'll see what the offseason brings in terms of his ability, as you flex here in the studio, his ability to add that muscle, to add that capacity to be a larger kind of guy to fit this defense. Paul Kruger really looks like the, and Mingo's never going to physically look like that, but Kruger has that sort of build, and he's brought some weight down. I think he's more ideal in terms of, and he talked with us last week at the golf tournament,
shape,
how he is the best shape of his life and of his certainly of his football career, because your strength and conditioning people, generally speaking, put together a program that fits the prototypes of what you want in players. You literally, those guys literally go about their business like they're molding and shaping guys to fit a particular scheme. They're like working with lumps of clay, and there's a lot of technology behind that too. I mean, there's a lot of technology that's utilized in terms of the numbers, and that's, I mean, it's generally true throughout the league, but from what I understand, the Browns are actually embracing that even more now than they ever have before. All right, we're just getting this thing rolling on a Football Tuesday, this edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. As Nathan mentioned, we are going to have Dane Brugler join us, bottom of the hour, get his post-draft Browns thoughts and draft thoughts in general. And then when we get into the Blitz, John Mullen will be with us from CSNChicago.com. And then Joe Stasniak, former NFL offensive lineman, played for the Colts, played for the Bills. He's with the flagship stations of the Colts, WIBC and WFNI. He'll be part of that Blitz as well. Just getting this rolling. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, ESPN 850.